We're going to look at a very, very familiar passage this morning. It's one of my favorite in the Old Testament. And as we look at it, I hope that it's expanded, that it will mean more to you than it perhaps did before. Abraham Lincoln, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, he suffered often with depression. He was one of those individuals that struggled with depression throughout his life. And one of the Psalms that he always read during those times that to encourage him was Psalm 23. Also, you might recall that President Bush read Psalm 23 to the nation following the disaster of 9/11. And so we're going to look this morning at this beautiful psalm. I believe that this psalm is very intimate. It points out that Christian life is to be an intimate relationship with our God. And it's a beautiful psalm, pointing out that what the Christian life is and ought to be. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And now it will change from he to me, am I. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beautiful psalm. I believe it's a psalm that expresses more than any other portion of God's word, the Christian life. From an experiential point of view, what we experience, what I appreciate most about God, even though he is holy and he's a God of love, and those are wonderful foundational truths. What I personally appreciate most about my God is he is so personal. Amen? And for every Christian, individually, he can be so personal. This psalm points out that the Christian life is meant to be a life. Yes, the Christian life is meant to be a very intimate relationship, if you would, with our God. And so I want us to look more closely at this psalm. Since it's so familiar, we probably could quote the words, each of us, from memory. But I want us to look more closely at it. And did you know that the Bible refers to sheep over 200 times? As I was thinking about this message, I thought that passage in Isaiah where it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid on him," referring to the Messiah, referring to Christ, his son, "has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all." We are like sheep. We were like sheep before we came to the Lord. And guess what? We are still sheep. Amen? And we sometimes have the same tendencies that we had before as sheep. There's two main characters in the psalm, the shepherd and the sheep. Well, first of all, look, the shepherd's provision is very personal because of who he is. Look at verse 1. It says, "The Lord." And the ESV, it's L-O-R-D with small case. In NIV, other translations, I like it. It's L-O-R-D, all caps. I prefer that myself. It means more to me. He is Lord, L-O-R-D. It means no one else. It means he's the great I am. He stands alone. He is Lord. If you know Jesus Christ, God is your Lord. In many ways, not only are we to submit to Him, but also being Lord, He provides everything for you. The Lord, Yahweh, God who He is. He's powerful, yet He is very personal. He's majestic, and yet He is mine and yours. Think of it. He's a consuming fire, and yet He is my sensitive shepherd. I don't think there's any more beautiful description than God is my shepherd. I think of the verse where it says, He carries me over His what? Heart. As a shepherd. Remember that. Remember that. I want to look at that more closely. God's provision makes us content. It says in the last part, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some translations have the idea, I shall lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes us content. A substitute teacher, Sunday school teacher, with little children, asked them if they knew Psalm 23 and who could quote Psalm 23. And a four-year-old girl, think of it, a little four-year-old girl raised her hand and said, I know Psalm 23. And the teacher was a little suspicious or whatever and said, can you quote it to us? And she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. It may not be the exact word, but does it capture the meaning? The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. As you walk with the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, I hope you have come to the point in your Christian walk where you honestly can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's the main idea. We live an age of discontentment. It's encouraged in many ways through the media and through our society to be discontent. Listen to the words of Jason Layman. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. Can you identify with that? It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but I was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was in my mid-age, but I was 20 I wanted the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but was middle-age I wanted the presence of my mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. That expresses much of what we are as human beings, I think, in our thinking sometimes. I read one time in a cemetery in England, there's a gravestone with the inscription, she died for the want of things. Alongside that stone is another stone that reads, he died trying to give them to her. Allow the simplicity of verse 1 to hit home. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As a four-year-old little girl said, he's everything I want. How true. Also, God's provision nourishes us. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Notice the word makes. The shepherd makes. He forces. He makes me lie down. Josephus, a first century scholar, has written that sometimes a shepherd would institute forced rest periods for his sheep, especially sheep that were pregnant, and young dancing lambs. He would force them down to rest. The shepherd would take the sheep and force fold its legs in such a way that they would become paralyzed temporarily, and they would have to lay down for their needed rest. God can, perhaps he has, force you to lie down. A broken leg, a broken bone, perhaps some other health problems, perhaps heartbreak, or even the loss of your job was devastating. But the shepherd forced you to lie down and get your attention and get that needed rest that you needed spiritually. While the shepherd would force his sheep to rest sometimes, the best way to get his flock to chill out was to make sure of four conditions were met. Number one, freedom from fear. By nature, sheep are nervous and fearful. By nature. They're high strung, they're very nervous. As you know, they don't have any much defense. And by nature, they are nervous and fearful. When they know the shepherd is with them, then they can relax. By nature, sheep are nervous and fearful. I also think by nature, many of us tend to worry, tend to have fears, lots of fears, and we tend to worry. I know my family would tell you that's true of Dad. They would say Dad often worries and has lots of fears. I need to be reminded of the shepherd, of the shepherd. It's interesting, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, listen carefully. It says, do not be anxious. Do not be uptight. Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. But it says, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, when we come to know God, we have peace with him. With his children, we become his children. We have peace with him. But we are to experience the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard, I believe, is a military word, term. Will guard your hearts and minds. And I think it's interesting. It doesn't say in Jesus Christ. It says in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious for anything. I also was reminded of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. When Jesus says, I tell you, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not get overly uptight, overly concerned. Concerned, yes, but in a perspective way. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into a barn. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And they ask this important question. Are you not of more value than they? And the employee answers, of course, by far, by far. If Heavenly Father takes care of the birds, beautiful analogy here, surely he will take care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll have freedom from fear. But also, I'll have freedom from friction. If there's friction in the flock, a sheep can't sleep. Instead of lying down, it stands up and stays standing all night long. The shepherd tries to memorize the tension on his team by separating those who cause trouble. I won't ask you to stand up, but is anybody in this church that caused irritation to you sometimes? Or do you know any other Christians that, because of their personality, because of whatever, yeah, but you hope you're not roommates in heaven? The shepherd understands. And he will give us freedom from friction. Thirdly, freedom from frustrations. Things like gnats and flies and parasites can distract sheep and keep them from lying down. A good shepherd keeps his eyes out for those small things that can frustrate a flock. I believe, I will tell you how old I am, but I am learning more and more. It's the small things in life that irritate me. Amen? It's those small things that seem to get out of proportion sometimes and bother us. We can have freedom from frustrations. Fourthly, we can have freedom from famine. A hungry sheep is forever on its feet, searching for food. The shepherd makes sure that they are in green pastures, where they can feed among the rich, sweet grass. Some of us never slow down enough to chew on the green grass and appreciate what is. Amen. We're filled with fear. We're filled with friction with others in the flock. We're good at allowing the small frustrations of life to knock us off center, and we forget the richness of the Christian life. Sheep by nature also are afraid of running water. I didn't know that. They will refuse to drink running water unless it is still and quieted. And the shepherd would often divert water from a rushing river to make a small private pool of refreshment where the water was still. Wow, what a picture. So the sheep would finally come and drink and receive nourishment. God has provided so much for us, and yet we often drink from places that can only harm us. He leads me beside the quiet, still water. He will divert, if he has to make a pond just for you so you can drink and appreciate the water. Third, God's provision for us. Sheep, because they are careless, they often need to be restored. Verse 3, he restores my soul. Do you ever have to be restored? I do, many times. Many times. He restores. We live in a world of all kinds of problems and pressures and stress. After a while, it gets old, doesn't it? I think of young mothers with young children. If they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever number of kids they have, and they can't wait till they take their naps so they can be what? Restored. Restored. He restores my soul. The word restored means to bring back to a former or normal state, to make new. Sheep get lost faster than any other animal. And this is dangerous because they can fall and get hurt. A predator may spring up on them, or they may simply tip over and become cast down. I want to emphasize that word cast down because it's a very interesting word in the sheep life. The word cast down for them means lying flat on their back with their legs up straight. If a sheep is getting fat, I'm not speaking particularly of men, but anyway, if sheep are getting fat, or if they have too much wool, they can fall into a hollow part of the ground and they are cast down. They are flat on their back and the legs are straight up. And they can't get up. Well, a sheep is missing. The first thing a shepherd thinks of is, I wonder if that sheep is cast down. And he'll go searching for the sheep because that sheep is buzzards and coyotes know that cast down sheep are easy prey. It's like a buffet meal for them. And the shepherd immediately wonders, I wonder if that sheep is cast down. And when a shepherd finds the sheep, he rolls it over and lifts it on its feet. He then straddles the sheep, holding it erect. He rubs the limbs of that sheep. Think of it, of our shepherd. He rubs the limbs to restore circulation while talking to it gently. What a picture of God does for strange saints. He looks for us when we have wandered away. He restores us when we are cast down. Wow, what a beautiful song. God is the God of second chances. You may say, Bob, I've done this. And I would tell nobody else, but I'll tell you. He's a God of second chances. And may I say third and fourth and fifth chances. Amen? He's a wonderful shepherd. I'm thankful that Christianity is a series of new beginnings. If you are cast down today or you have strayed away from the flock, allow the shepherd to seek you out and allow the shepherd to restore you. He'll bring you back and put you back together. God's provision also guides us. He guides us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to emphasize the word path here means a well-defined and well-worn trail. Well-defined. And I think many times, even when the path is perfectly clear, sheep will stray. And many times, even though we know what we sometimes might stray, he leads me in paths of righteousness. We need a shepherd to guide us in the right way. Because like sheep, we often have a lose our sense of direction. How does he guide us? I told my son one time, I said, the Christian life is very simple. He reveals to us his will and we follow him. We submit. He reveals and we submit. We reveals and he submits. That path of righteousness that he has for you individually as a sheep. The key is for you to learn to what? To follow, to submit, to follow, to submit, to follow, to submit. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. His reputation is at stake. His character is on display. Psalm 23, the shepherd's provision is personal. Secondly, the shepherd's protection is pervasive. God not only takes care of us in good times, he guides us through those dark seasons of life as well. When times are tough, God becomes more real to David. Have you ever experienced that? It's a strange thing. It seems when things are rough, sometimes that's when you realize more than any other time who he is and what he's done for you. Amen? I wish it wasn't that way. But when it seems also rough times when it gets our attention. It's rough times. They become so close to us. It's as if he picks us up and puts us over his shoulder and carries us. Remember that poem, In His Footsteps? How true. Well, we see God's protection is pervasive, covering every aspect of life, from great pastures to the shadows of death, because God will protect us. Number one, there is no fear to fear death. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's a picture here of a shepherd leading his flock, sheep, home in the evening. As they go through the rocky ravine and narrow gorges, there are long shadows. And it frightens the sheep. The idea here is strength through companionship. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Wow. Doesn't talk about the other sheep. It talks about the shepherd. Other sheep are important too. But for you are with me. So I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Wow. And all of us will experience that someday. Amen? When that day comes. Secondly, there's no fear to need to fear enemies. Verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. The best place for sheep to gaze is on the tableland. Before laying the lambs, move around the shepherd inspects for poisonous weeds and for predators, probably before it lets the sheep wander around. Third, there's no need to fear any problems. It says in verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. I love that picture. Oil to repel insects. Oil to prevent conflicts, oil, especially to heal wounds. I don't know what you've gone through personally. I know what I've gone through. I know what my kids have gone through in part when they were with us. I don't know what they go through now. But I believe every one of us has wounds, some perhaps more severe than others. And God anoints oil, us with oil, that we can be healed. And may I say that healing isn't always instant. It might take months and weeks and years. But don't become bitter. Allow the oil of the shepherd to do what it's meant to do, to heal the wounds. What a beautiful picture of what the shepherd does for us. He deals with our problems by protecting us from those things that can wipe us out. Let's move on. The shepherd's pleasure is paramount. Number one, God gives us more than we need right now in verse 5. And the first part of verse 6. My cup overflows. And I love this phrase. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, now on earth. Surely, goodness and mercy, that word follow is a word pursue. He will pursue us with his mercy, his love, his goodness. We are recipients of those things. Wow. Secondly, he's preparing us for everything we need later on. Verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The season will change our lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. the shepherd. Let me give you some lambs, very briefly, some lambs lesson, three lessons for the lambs. Number one, join the shepherd's flock. The Lord is looking for lost sheep right now. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life and to shepherd your life, do you know the shepherd? Join the flock. Secondly, stay close to the shepherd. Amen? Stay close. When you stray, stay close to the shepherd. We will make sure, he will make sure all that you need. Fortunately, we have a tendency sometimes to stray away. As a last resort, the shepherd will sometimes take that sheep that has strayed away and discipline it. That's a strong word. Remember, Hebrews tells us he disciplines those whom he loves. The word discipline here with the shepherd means sometimes he'll take a lamb or a sheep, and I don't mean to be too graphic, but take that sheep and he'll ram it down over his knees and break the leg. Pretty severe, is it? That sheep won't be able to walk. And the shepherd will take that sheep that he has disciplined and put it over his shoulders or over the heart and carry it. When God disciplines you or me, it's for our good. It's because he loves us. I won't suggest that, parents, I don't suggest you tell your kids, I discipline you because I love you. Well, it's true, isn't it? Because a sheep cannot walk, the shepherd carries a sheep from field to field, sometimes putting that sheep over his shoulders to carry it. Stay close to the shepherd. I hope he doesn't have to discipline you severely. Stay close to the shepherd. Third, follow him wherever he leads. Follow him wherever he leads. Discipleship. Learn to follow him wherever he leads. I love this song. I think it more than any other portion of Scripture expresses the Christian life. David was a shepherd boy. And when he came to know God, he realized that God was to be his shepherd. And they realized more and more and more, in many ways, how much of a sheep he was. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then we have this psalm that expresses what the Christian life is from beginning to end. Beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The end, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for the truth expressed by David in these six simple, short sentences, verses, what the Christian life is meant to be. Help us have that perspective. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.